Hello and welcome to the Outlander Sasnack Fan Podcast. I'm Ajlene.
I'm Gracie.
And it is just a podcast where we talk about the latest episode of Outlander and all the things that are just kind of happening in the universe. Well, Outlander universe.
Yeah. And unfortunately, this week was the finale of season two.
Yes. Yeah, and it was
a doozy.
It was a finale, that's for sure.
Oh yeah, definitely. Because so much was going on, we're actually going to talk about the 1960s stuff first. That way you guys don't get confused when we're going back and forth. You know, it made sense for the show, like, while it was going on, but it doesn't make sense to discuss back and forth with the podcast.
So. Yeah, because that's definitely going to get a little bit confusing. So
let's talk about the first thing we see after the recap. And that is Roger. I'm so excited. Okay, you guys have no idea. Roger is my book husband, okay? Like, originally I was a Gilbert Blythe girl, and then I moved on to Darcy. And I love Jamie, but, like, as far as book boyfriends, Roger Mack is mine, okay?
Yeah. Yeah, I feel the same way, where it's just, I don't know what it is about it. Like, I love Jamie, too, and he's, like, one of my book boyfriends, but Roger just...
Roger's book husband.
Yeah.
He's material.
Yeah. So it kind of starts off where he's watching a program with a bunch of, I guess, mourners at his Reverend Wakefield's like funeral, or, you know, the after party.
Sorry. Oh, yeah, where everybody goes to the house and mourns together. Oh, he was such a great man, blah, blah.
The after party.
Yeah.
In the club with the party. Drinks. I'm sorry.
More sense of humor. The TV show that was actually on was The Avengers. They wanted it to be Star Trek, but Star Trek wasn't showing in the UK at the time, so they couldn't use that one.
That makes sense.
Yeah, so they use The Avengers instead, which is, I think, a U.S. TV show. I have no idea what it's about, but I know that's the one they were using because I read
it. Well, I know they made a remake. I'm pretty sure it's a British show, but they made a remake, like, in the 2000s, and the remake was horrifyingly bad.
It's like a spy show, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, but it was, like, I think it was supposed to be funny as well.
Mm-hmm. Like a spy comedy kind of thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, anyways, So, as he goes back into the other room, he notices... Well, we get a glimpse of older Claire, right? And she's got, like, this white...
Jackie O look.
Yeah, very Jackie O. And she's got, like, this... gray streak in her hair, and it's like that's how I want to turn gray, like the like classy streak in the hair, you know what I mean?
Oh yeah.
Like,
yeah. What really got me is I read a New York Times article, and the New York Times article, it was not very flattering of the entire season. They thought the writing was it wasn't as good as the first season. But they didn't understand how Claire could age so gracefully, and I'm thinking, well, you guys didn't read the book.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, she really did age gracefully in the book as well.
Yeah, and I mean, she's what, like, late 40s, early 50s at this point?
It's 20 years after, and she was 27 when she went into the stones, right?
Okay, so she was, like, 29 when she had Bree. Okay, 20, 21 years later. Yeah, so she's 49 or 50.
Yeah.
So, I mean, she's not old. 50 is really young still, especially for her. So it makes complete sense that she's only got a couple gray hairs.
Yeah, so she really does age, like, really gracefully. And, like, I don't know. I had, like, this... Like, seeing her older, I was like, oh, my God, she just looks so nice. And, you know.
Yeah, Like, which the whole point, especially in the books, is that when she, goes back in time again, the whole point is she looks a lot younger than people her age in the 1700s. And it's because she's had a relatively easy life, unlike
Compared
a lot
to.
of people. Yeah. So, the New York
And you
Times
also
article.
have to think, Katrina Balfe is 36. Like, she's not, in her early 20s in real life, right? So she can play a little bit older as well.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, she played younger and you couldn't even tell, so I think it was just a weird complaint from the New York Times about it. I mean, it wasn't exactly a flattering article, but one of the other people that we actually meet in this scene is Fiona, who
Yes.
loves Roger, just like
She
we do.
loves him.
She loves him. Oh man. That girl got a major crush on him. We don't really see it in the show, but in the books, she is all about Roger.
Well, I think she's kind of like the portrayal of the fan base in a way.
Yeah,
Where
she's like.
we love Roger, but we don't like Bree. So, now also here's another thing. While Roger is, talking to some of the other mourners, he notices Brianna out of the corner of his eye, and he goes like following after her. But, he's of course kind of being bombarded by other people who are like, "I'm so sorry for your loss," and he just wants to like meet Brianna, right?
Ooh, pretty redhead.
Yeah, exactly,
And
right? So.
so you can tell he's getting exasperated because every time he moves toward her, they're like, "Oh, your father was such a nice man, And he's like,
Now,
"Oh, thanks."
so then at one point, Claire, basically does that, right? Where she's like, "I'm, an old friend of your father's. I'm, so sorry for the loss. We were in London." And well, this is a part where we learn that Claire is no longer a nurse. She is, in fact, a doctor and a surgeon.
Yeah, Brie was very quick to correct that. She
Yeah.
has, made her way back into the picture. And she's like, "Mom, don't be modest. She's a surgeon."
Yeah, like Claire has done a little bit of work in the last 20 years, and by that I mean a lot of work.
Yeah, going from a field nurse to a doctor to a surgeon, I mean, that's a lot of years in school.
Yeah, exactly. So I mean, she hasn't just been sitting at home twiddling her, thumbs and mourning
Not to mention,
Jamie.
even back then, it was very rare for a woman to be a surgeon.
Oh, very rare. I mean, that kind of comes up a lot, in the books that both she and another gentleman who happens to be African American were both becoming surgeons at the same time, where they were both looked down upon from their peers because he was black and she was a woman.
Yeah, it's really the books, show that relationship a lot better, so.
Yeah. Well, we don't know what might happen in the next season, but that's something that could possibly happen. So anyways, that's when we're introduced to Brianna, and for those who don't, didn't know, that's of course Jamie and Claire's daughter.
Yes, and she's played by Sophie Skelton, who was in a YouTube, what's the word I'm looking for? Basically, like a YouTube video series called Ren, the Girl with the Mark. It was actually really good, and that's how I was first introduced to her as an actress. I will say this: I think that you could tell that Sophie wasn't used to acting with, unlike Katrina and Richard Rankin, who played Roger. You could tell there's definitely some awkwardness in her delivery and things like that. And I know that a lot of people were so upset about her portrayal. And while I do think that you can tell that she's new to acting, I really trust the casting directors And I don't think she deserved a lot of the hate that I saw on Twitter.
Well, yeah, I mean, she's going to take... This is her first major role, right? And she...
Exactly.
I mean, casting directors, they put you through the ringer, right? And she obviously proved herself. And yes, you know, she's a little bit rough. But when you think about it, isn't Brie a little bit rough and abrupt?
Exactly. I mean, and it's just like people were complaining so much after the first episode of Outlander, you know, the first actual episode with Katrina. You know, people were like, she didn't deliver the Jesus H. Roosevelt Christ line right. You know, her acting was a little weird. And it's the same thing, you know, like Katrina's never really acted before now. And look at what a powerhouse she has become in the space of 2 seasons. You know, even the first season, you could see, you know, how she completely transformed. We get Brianna for about 45 minutes of airtime in this episode.
Mm-hmm.
That's just because, you know, she has time to grow in her role and get more comfortable in front of a camera. I have complete faith that she is perfect for the role that she's cast in.
Yeah, me too. I think so.
So can we please not attack her on Twitter?
Well, exactly. I mean, she's, how old is she? Like, what, 22 maybe?
She's my age. I think she's like 24, somewhere around there.
But still, like, first major acting role. Yeah, and, you know, she gets a bunch of fan assholes, you know, berating her on Twitter. Like, no. Okay, that's not good for anybody's self-esteem. And you know what, we don't want her doubting her characterization of this character, right? So
don't be an asshole.
Yeah, don't be an asshole.
You know, it's okay if you didn't like her for her first episode, but don't attack her on Twitter. Don't say that she's this awful, horrible actress, you know, or, you know, she's not my Brie, blah blah blah. That's not very nice.
Well, we were saying this about Sam, right? We were like saying, oh, he's so awful, he's disgusting, or whatever, you know. But now,
like my Jamie. Well, he's not supposed to look like your Jamie. Everyone has a different idea of what Jamie looked like, even with the physical description.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
That's, and we see how Sam has completely, you know, embraced the character and made Jamie his own. So.
Exactly. So, I mean, have some faith in these characters, in the actors that portray these characters. So at this point, as they're talking, Roger offers them a place to stay. Like, hey, stay for a few days. You know, you get to. Well, he actually said something like this to Brianna. About, hey, you know, that's too bad you can't see the sights and see how majestic, you know, Scotland is. And Brianna just basically said the same thing when convincing her mother to stay. It's kind of funny.
Yeah, Mom, let's stay.
We'll get to see the sights and I get to see this beautiful country.
It's so awkward between them the first time they meet because Brianna really is such an abrupt person and very blunt. And here's Roger, who's just, like, so awkward.
Well, that's the thing between, like, because that's not just Roger. Like, that's, like, a weird British thing. Like, because he grew up with, you know, a father who was, even though he was in Scotland, right, his, you know, father is English, who raised him in Scotland, right? And then he went to, like, Oxford and stuff. And whatever it is with the British, and I mean, you can, like, say I'm wrong, but they're very polite and they know when to stop when it comes to things, right? So where Americans are like
over there all huffs and eye rolls.
Well, exactly, but that's the thing. Brianna goes out there and she's American, Americans have this like reach for the sky sort of mentality, right?
We're very blunt people.
Yeah, exactly. Where, you know, the British are like, "No, I'm just going to stay here on the ground and I'm going to be a historian and, you know, da 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 da." Yeah, you can see that sort of contrasting, you know, where he's trying to be polite and she's American. So, sorry. Yeah.
Brianna does manage to convince Claire, though I'm sure it didn't take much in the way of prodding, for them to stay there. And you can tell Roger's really happy about it. And
Well, he gets to see the pretty girls some more.
yeah. After that, at night, Claire's in one of the rooms drinking some whiskey, and Roger joins him. And Roger joins her, excuse me.
That's
And
okay.
it is revealed that his last name isn't actually Wakefield, but Mackenzie, because they were talking about Culloden.
Yes.
And she was like, "Oh, really, Mackenzie?"
Yeah, because he said, like, my ancestors fought in Culloden, right? And yeah, it's kind of one of those moments where, Claire just kind of is like, oh, that's interesting. Maybe I might
All
look
the
into
while,
that.
the wheels in her head are turning. You can see it.
Yeah, exactly. So then Roger asks her, how do you say goodbye to somebody that you love most in the world? And Claire's kind of had to do that, before. So,
Yeah, he's talking about Frank, but she's thinking about Jamie.
well, because he's also dealing with the loss of his father, right? So, I mean,
Exactly.
he loves his father more than anything in the world, and he's basically had to say goodbye. And because Frank has since passed, which I know some fans are probably quite happy about. I'm just saying that's not cool. But anyways, so she's dealt with that with Jamie. So anyways, Claire ends up going back to bed, and she says to Brianna, who's already sleeping, that you're so like him. And of course, she means Jamie.
Yeah. And then also, we're not gonna go to when they finally switch back to the 1700s just yet, but we're still gonna stay in the 60s. I guess it's like the next day or the next few days. Roger and Brianna go off to Fort William.
On a little drive, and you get to see
They're
the Scottish.
giggling together and
And there's
flirting.
some music, and they're just, cruising. And you get to see the Scottish Highlands, which is absolutely beautiful. Now they stop at Fort William, where he describes the history as they're walking around there, right? And there's other tourists in the background. And he also mentions that prisoners were flogged here.
Yeah, and they're looking at a pillory while he's talking about it, and she's like, "Oh, I get the chills." And we're like, "Yeah, you should, babe.
Yeah, your daddy was there.
Your daddy and one of your father's ancestors, even though it wasn't a direct descendant."
Yeah, exactly. So
I mean,
it's.
even though Frank wasn't Jonathan Wolverton Randall's biological son, it's still like his uncle or something. The blood is still in his veins.
Yeah, exactly.
So
So one
ugh.
of the other things that they kind of start talking about is the American Revolution, because she's from Boston, and the American Revolution is basically gospel there, right?
Yeah, that's what she basically says. She's like, it's a second religion, essentially,
Yeah. They all think
So
that this
Roger.
massacre happened when six people died. Like, come on.
Roger, of course, wanting to impress her, misquotes someone. And he's like, "Oh man, you can see he winces. Like, oh man, I totally fucked up.
Yeah.
I think I'm so stupid." This is where I call him adorkable because that's exactly what Roger is. I love the fact that he's so awkward and at the same
Well,
time.
does it? He tries to quote Benedict Arnold, right? Or
No. He
somebody.
quotes someone, but it ends up being Nathan Hale, I think.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I remember. And they're just kind of talking about, American things, right? And
He
she also
never
mentions that
quotes.
Benedict
Never.
Arnold was. Oh, sorry.
I was, and he was like, "Yeah, never quote American history to an American."
So, and they also mentioned Benedict Arnold, who according to Brie, is, you know,
misunderstood.
Yeah, very misunderstood, you know, figure of history, right? Because we all think he's a friggin' traitor, right? But anyway, so then she does a Scottish accent, and he's like, that is the worst Scottish accent ever.
It actually was not that bad.
No, it was actually pretty good.
But then again, Sophie Skelton's actually British, so.
Yeah. Now, also she asks about her father, if he remembers anything about him, and Roger's just like, oh, I just remember he was a snappy dresser, right? And she also,
for one eye.
Yeah, exactly. And then Brianna says that her mother lives in another world.
Yeah. While they're talking, Claire is actually in the car on her way to a spot, and we find out that she's gone to Lallybroch, and it's just not the same. It's boarded up and falling apart and just in a complete state of disrepair. And you can hear voiceovers of her time at Lallybroch playing in her head from Wee Jamie and Jenny. And, oh man, that was a depressing moment.
Yeah. So she, you know, she's learning about that. Also, I have to say, her glasses are so cute.
Yeah, they were. I think the part that made me, like, really sad about that whole scene was when she looks at the gate and sees Jamie standing there like some ghost, and she smiles at him, and it's just like, oh man, this is the part where, you know, you're like, time to get the tissues.
yeah, exactly.
So Brianna and Roger have decided, you know, something's up. Brianna wants to know about something that happened that her dad alluded to in a letter that she found in a lockbox. And Roger's like, oh, well, you know, my dad kept some journals, as long as you don't mind getting grubby. And she's like, you should see my bedroom.
And she's like, oh, that didn't sound good. And he's like, no, it didn't, but that's okay.
But it was funny.
Yeah. I just a smile. I'm like, oh, Roger, you're so awesome.
Yeah. So, anyways, that night, Claire and Brie are talking, and
oh yeah, because Claire says to Brianna, like, "How was your date?" And she's like, "Mom, it wasn't a date." And she's like, "Well, you must have noticed how tall, dark, and handsome he is." And she's like,
"He's such a nice physique." And she's like, "Mom, nobody uses physique anymore."
Yeah, exactly, right?
And I use physique,
but then you know, Claire's Brie's like, maybe you should date him or whatever. She's like, oh no, it's okay, you know, whatever.
It's actually kind of funny how in the book, you know, Roger actually kind of has, I guess, a Mrs. Robinson thing for Claire. Like, he finds her a very attractive older woman.
Oh, really? I don't remember that.
Yeah, because there's this one, the part where they're drinking whiskey, right? That was in the book. And, you know, he mentions how beautiful she actually is. So, I mean, he definitely sees her as a beautiful older woman. But he's like, nah, man, my eye's on Brie.
Yeah.
Almost immediately. But, yeah, Brie asks her mom, you know, if she loved him. And, of course, Brie is talking about Frank at the time. And, you know, you can see Claire kind of hesitate, and she's like, you know, I loved him, but you can tell it's not like the kind of love that she had with Jamie.
No, exactly.
And you kind of get a glimpse of the fact that life with Frank probably wasn't 100% awesome. You can tell just by what Claire has said and what Brianna has stated about, you know,
him having quite a temper.
Yeah.
Yeah, because that is one of the things where, you know, Roger says that he found Mrs. Graham, you know, in another room, you know, who had, and Frank had apparently gone in there and broken, which we saw at the beginning of this season, right?
And, yeah, And Brianna can't understand why her dad would go into a fit of rage like that. She's like, he had a temper, but he wasn't, you know, a break shit kind of guy.
Yeah. So,
the next day, I guess.
They go to I guess a college or like.
Yeah, he's got to do something before they go back and look at journals. And while she's there, guess who she sees?
She sees Gaylis Duncan. Well, her actual
name. A younger Gaylis Duncan.
Yeah, a younger Gaylis Duncan. And her name is not Gaylis. It is Jillian.
Whoa. Edgars?
Edgars, yes. Jillian Edgars. And she is talking. She is, saying that Scotland needs to take back what it was rightfully theirs, and what would have happened if Bonnie Prince Charlie and his men would have won on Culloden, right? And I am Bonnie Prince Charlie, right?
Oh, so, my God. It was, like, the worst self-help infomercial, you know, the kind of thing that comes on at 2 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah,
it's like, you can do it, I can do it, we can all do it together.
Well, I do need to make that note that I forget what year it was, but there was a lot of like Scottish pride going on around that time. For example, a bunch of Scottish kids went all the way to Westminster and they stole the Stone of Destiny.
The 60s was an awesome time anyway for protesting and, you know, all that fun stuff. So,
but yeah, they like stole it from Westminster, and like one of the guys that did it actually knows my cousins, so that's kind of weird.
Well, I guess while they're doing this, Claire is once more, you know, just jotting around, and she goes to a couple places. She goes to a hall of records, essentially, and looks up some kind of contract that she signed with Jamie, giving the house of Lallybroch over to wee Jamie,
mm-hmm.
you know, Jenny's son. And then after that, she kind of goes to a museum, and she's looking around, and she sees the wax figure of Bonnie Prince Charlie.
Just a quick mention, right, that this is the point, well, before when Roger met Gaylis, like, he's basically looking at his great-great-great-great-grandmother, right? But also...
That's kind of fun, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. He's looking at her face. But also... there's something that Claire does, and she asks if she could possibly do a genealogy search on Roger.
Oh,
no, you didn't say that, did you?
I said that she looked up Roger's past while she was there.
Oh, I'm sorry. I wasn't listening.
Yeah, so.
Oh, anyway. God. Yeah.
Anyway, so she's at the museum, of course, and one of the, I guess it's like, I don't know if it's the curator or one of the guests looking at everything. He's like, he was a very tall man, wasn't he? And she's like, not that tall.
Yeah. Wasn't that tall. God.
God, he was such an asshole.
Yeah. Which.
You could totally tell in her voice, she's like, not impressed.
Yeah. Mark me, but he was an asshole.
Then she sees these two, well, she hears these two older people talking about some kind of, you know, dragonfly in amber, and turns out that it's her wedding gift that she gave, that Hugh Monroe gave her, sitting there in a glass case.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And it's very interesting that it's, you know, there in a museum.
Mm-hmm. After that, she ends up going to Culloden Moor, which she says when she gets there that she never anticipated actually coming back to.
Now, while she's kind of doing that, right? Bree and Roger go into the Reverend Wakefield's, like, I don't know, storage place, and. they start like searching for things, right? And there's one point where, as they're searching, a rat scutters by their feet. And
oh my god, this is one of those books scenes that I really wanted to see. It's hilarious.
Oh, it is amazing. And that's the part where Roger is like, yeah, what you do is you have to sing to the rats to tell them that the food is better elsewhere and that the food here is horrible. And then he starts singing.
Yeah, it's really funny. And Brianna just looks at him like he's lost his goddamn mind.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, well, exactly, right? And she's like, you made that up on the spot. And he's like, well, the best rats.
Every good rat satire is made up on the spot. Like, don't worry. I think it scared off all the rats here.
Yeah.
Obviously, it worked. And yeah. Then while they're there, they actually find, you know, the piece of paper that says that Claire was kidnapped by fairies or whatever.
Yeah, and all the news articles and pictures and stuff.
Yeah. So then it goes kind of back to Claire, and
and she's on Culloden Moor talking to the stone that says Clan Fraser.
Yeah, and she tells Jamie all about Bree right there, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, she's talking to him about everything, and then she does, you know, she touches the stone and she actually says goodbye.
Yeah, this is I think where Roger's words resonated with her, and so she's actually finally giving him a proper goodbye that she didn't get to give him before. And it's sad. Again, tissues.
Yeah, it was quite a moment. So then we switch back. Claire goes back to Roger's place. And
Bree is right there. She's,
girl, she, yeah.
Like, hey, mom, what's this shit, you know?
Throws it at her.
Like, you're going to tell me about my real dad? Is that who you've been seeing? You've been creeping around, blah, blah, blah.
What have been doing all day? God, mom.
Did you go to my real dad's house? And Claire's like, what? And she's like, I did the math, okay? You were already 3 months pregnant when you came back from your little wherever. And you were gone for 3 years. Where were you?
Yeah. And then as she's like yelling, you know, at her, right? Roger comes walking in and he's like, hey, I found something else. And he's like, no.
Let me go. You talk. And Bree, no, you stay.
Yeah, you stay. You're my friend, and you're going to sit on this couch, and you're going to stay.
And you're going to listen, and you're going to be my support. And Roger, okay. I don't want to be rude.
Yeah, pretty much. Like, the look on his face is just like, oh, no.
I would rather be dead right now.
I'd rather be dead right now. Yeah.
But she's really pretty, so I'm going to do it.
So, this is definitely the part where, like, at the beginning, I'm like, you know what? Bree can't be that bad. She's not that bad. She's actually pretty good. This is the moment where I'm like, no, Bree. No. Fuck her.
See, but I completely see Bree's point of view from this. I was 9 years old when I found out that the person that I call my dad wasn't actually my dad. See, some family baggage is, you know, that I'm actually the product of an extramarital affair. So I can kind of relate to Bree a little bit on this, you know? And, I mean, I can understand her anger and frustration with her mother. So I get it, but the delivery was probably more funny than what it was supposed to be.
Yeah. I definitely saw it at a different light because, you know, I was kind of on Claire's side, right? But then again, you know, I mean, Claire does sound like she's talking nonsense and a normal person.
How would you feel, like, in real life, how would you feel if someone came up to you and said, yeah, I had an affair, but it wasn't really an affair. I was, you know, traveled back in time 200 years and met this really handsome ass Scotsman with a great ass,
Yeah, well, yeah, exactly. So Claire goes on to tell the story, and Bree flatly, like, does like, not believe her.
What the fuck is wrong with you, Mom? Are you mental? Are you insane? Like, this is the kind of thing that would get you committed, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Like, Bedlam has a room reserved.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I mean, so
back then, they were still doing electroshock therapy.
Yeah. Now, this is the part where Brianna says something that is, I don't know.
The part where she's like, I wish you had died instead of Daddy.
Yeah. Like, when she said that, that was the moment where I was like, oh, Brie, that was fucked. That was, like, not cool. That was really messed up. Like, I've seen, I mean, have you legit ever said something like that to your, to a parent?
Oh, God, no.
No.
I mean, I wouldn't wish death on anyone, but I mean, I understand that Bree was upset, but that was a little too far. But at the same time, she's really pissed. I mean, she finds out that the man that she called father wasn't her actual father, and that there's this other man that her mom had an affair with, she thinks. And then her mom tells her this convoluted story of time travel. And she's like, what the fuck is wrong with you, you sick bitch? You know, so yeah. I can kind of understand where Bree's coming from. But that line was really, ooh.
Well, yeah, I've had a little bit of a, you know, not a bad relationship with my mom, but like, you know, there's been times where I've said stuff that I definitely regret, but I've never told my mom that I wish she was dead. Like, I've never said that.
I think the most I've ever told my mom is that I wanted to run away.
Whoa, girl.
I didn't actually do it, but you did, but that's another story.
Yeah, I did run away once. I think the worst thing I ever said to my mom, though, was I called her a see you next Tuesday. I was really mad at her. I know.
Oh, that's bad.
To her face. Oh, she was mad. She was.
Oh, God. She, I would never cuss at my mama.
Yeah, well. You got to remember, I was like, this was several years ago, and I really regret it to this day. Like, I look back on that and I go, oh, 19-year-old Ajeline. Mm-mm, honey. No, no, no. That was
bad girl.
Bad girl. What are you doing?
So I guess after this fight, Claire goes off and, you know, because they need to cool down.
Mm-hmm.
And she actually ends up going to see Galus because she finds out that, you know.
She sees the pamphlet, Galus's pamphlet that Brianna had had.
Yeah, and she sees Galus's picture and she's like, oh, well, I can warn Galus. And if I warn Galus, she won't get killed at the stake. And, of course, Jillian, Edgar's, is not there, but her husband is, and her husband is just, like, really drunk and depressed. And
he's like, she left a long time ago, she's spouting about Bonnie Prince Charlie, she, you know, I thought she was just going to get some courses done at college, and now she's gone crazy.
Yeah, I haven't seen her in weeks, you know, if you... And then, like, the saddest part of that whole scene is when he says, if you see Jilly, will you please tell her to come home? I miss her.
Yeah. Yeah, that was really sad.
She's a really bad wife.
She's a really, really, we find out
she's
later.
A really bad person.
Yeah, like, this is a moment where we realize that Galus is not a redeemable character. Like,
She's a really good friend to Claire, but that's her only redeeming quality.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. It's not much of one. So when Claire comes back to the Wakefield house, she has this brilliant idea. She's like, hey, you know, we need to stop Galus from doing this. This is Galus from my story. And then it's revealed that, you know, for Roger, that's actually his great-great-great-great-grandmama or whatever. And Bree's like, what the fuck is wrong with you, Mom? And Roger manages to convince Bree to just, let's go along with it, you know?
Let's just see what happens, you know?
We'll see some redhead, you know, smack her head into a stone.
Yeah, exactly, right? So...
And she's like, fine, we'll do it, you know. So they drive up to the stones, and
Well, that's the thing. Gilles, her idea of, like, how to get through the stones is a little bit different, and that is...
She thinks that she needs gemstones and a human sacrifice.
Yeah, but that's the thing. You don't need a human sacrifice, but she uses one anyways, and it happens to be her husband.
Her poor husband.
Yeah.
Who? The funniest part, I mean, this was kind of a dramatic scene for the whole episode, but the funniest part of this whole episode is, okay, back in
Season one
in the Devil's Mark, the witch trials and everything, Galus says, I guess I'm going to a fucking barbecue, right?
Yeah.
And then when Roger and Bree and Claire roll up where Jillian, Galus' husband, is burning, Roger's response to the smell is, it smells like a fucking barbecue.
Yeah.
Obviously, those two are related. I thought that was a really funny tie-in.
So that's, I think that's at the part where Gilles goes through the stones.
And Brianna sees it and realizes, holy shit, my mom's not crazy.
Yeah. So we're gonna leave it there, at least in the 1960s, and we're going to start going back.
Yeah, and we'll talk about what happened simultaneously in the 1700s, kind of, sort of.
Yeah, so...
While all that 1960s stuff was going on, we're also getting flashbacks to the 1700s.
Yep.
And one of the first flashbacks is when Jamie is trying to convince Bonnie Prince Charlie to, you know, let's not do it today, you know, we're going to get slaughtered. I mean, he's panicking. You can tell.
Yeah.
And Bonnie Prince Charlie calls him his Thomas.
Yeah. Doubting Thomas.
Yeah. And likens himself to Jesus Christ.
That he ain't.
No.
So, and that's the part where he's like, mark me, I will make you a believer. And yeah, Jamie's like, you're an idiot.
I'm pretty sure that was really close to sacrilege or blasphemy.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not Catholic, but it sounded sacrilegious. I mean, that's the kind of shit that could probably get you burned as a heretic.
Back then, maybe.
Yeah, not even back then, but like in the 1500s, heresy was just, you know, you could burn for anything.
So then Jamie goes to tell Murta that, like, what... You know, that this battle's going to happen whether they like it or not, right? Mm-hmm. And then, you know, there's a bit more flashbacks. But anyway, so then Jamie goes to tell Claire what's happening, or he takes Claire with him into the house. And Claire comes up with
Claire
a plan.
Yeah, Claire has this big, brilliant idea.
Yeah, and it's definitely one of those moments that you're like, oh, shit, like, could change history.
Claire, I think it was more an act of desperation because, you know, at the beginning of the season, Martel's like, well, why don't we just cut his fucking throat, you know? And then Jamie and Claire are like, no, that's a bad idea. And now it's to the point where Claire's like, you know, maybe if we kill him.
Yeah, so she offers... you know, let's kill him with the same stuff that Colum used, and Jamie's like, what suicide?
Suicide? Yeah. That's a mortal sin. Yeah, well, he was ready to die. Shut the fuck up. We got bigger problems.
Okay, we got bigger fish to fry. Come on.
I mean, that was essentially the whole conversation about Colum's death. That's a mortal sin, Claire. Yeah, well, who gives a fuck? Let's talk about murdering this guy.
Yeah, well, definitely,
and
there's
Jamie,
a lot
of course, has his reservations about that shit. He's like,
I'm gonna shut up now. So this is the moment where we see that somebody has been listening to this conversation, and that happens to be Dougal, who is not too happy.
No, I mean, okay, he's already emotionally unstable because he just lost his brother.
Yeah.
And now he hears his nephew conspiring with you know, Claire about killing his savior, Bonnie Prince Charlie, and he's lost his fucking marbles at this point.
Yeah. So he starts spewing vitriol, calling Claire a lying slut, you know, witch, bitch, whatever. So that's Jay when,
like, don't call my wife a slut.
I'm going.
Only I can do that in kinky time.
So that's when they start fighting, and Jamie.
Yeah, one of the lines while they're fighting that really cracked me up, even though it was such a serious moment, and it's when Dougal was like, "Come here, Jamie. Come here. I'll run you through real gently in memory of your mother. You know, I'll kill you quick."
Oh my god.
Like, he's fucking lost it.
Yeah. Yeah. So then Jamie gets him, and he has his knife to Dougal's heart.
But he's not pressing down.
And he's not pressing down, but then
Claire comes over, and
she presses down.
Yeah. This was not in the book.
And no, that was kind of a moment where I'm like, I'm pretty sure this shit didn't happen.
I don't think that did Claire's character any favors, but I think it does add to this desperate feeling, that tension that you feel every time it goes back to the 1700s in this episode. Like, your heart is hammering and you can feel tense because you know that shit is about to happen. It's about to get fucked up. Right. Yeah. So, I mean, it adds to this desperation that she and Jamie feel in trying to
stop this.
Time, that's not something that Claire actually did in the book. Jamie didn't kill Dougal out of any malice or anything. He did it out of self-defense.
Yeah. So this is the part where Rupert walks in, and Jamie says, you know, grant me 2 hours to get my affairs in order, and then I'll, you know, own up to the
fact. And do whatever the fuck you want to me.
Yeah, exactly, right. So then Rupert goes walking off, right? And he's, like, obviously not happy. So then they go and find Murtaugh. And Murtaugh's reaction was like, well, I'm not surprised. And you're like, oh, Murtaugh.
Yeah. Jamie, I killed Dougal. He's all upset about it. I killed Dougal. Murtaugh, oh, really? Well, that's nice.
And then, I have to say, Murtaugh, let's save Murtaugh, please. Please.
Well, we don't know if he's dead or not, thankfully. They kind of left that save Murtaugh thing open at the end of the episode.
Yeah.
Anyway, after Jamie and Claire admit that they killed Dougal, Jamie brings out the sheet of paper, you know, the same one that we saw earlier in the episode in 1968, which was the deed to Lallybroch. Being signed over to Wee Jamie, but it's dated like 2 or 3 years previously.
Yeah.
And before the rebellion. That way the British can't seize the property, you know, in the house, because the Murrays are not fighting in the Jacobite cause. So this way it protects Lallybroch and keeps it in the family.
Yeah, exactly.
Would have seized it because it was Jamie Fraser's property, and Jamie Fraser is awful, you know, to them.
Yeah. So they sign the dates, or they sign it. Murtaugh signs it. Claire signs it as witnesses, and then Fergus is to bring it to Lallybroch. And of course, Fergus is like, "No, I have to stay with you, me lord." He's like, "No, you're going. You have to do this. This is really important."
And then they call him their son.
Yeah.
And I need more tissues at this point.
Aww.
I could cry now. Like, that was such a sad moment. You see him stuffing in his pocket while he's walking away and give them a nod. And it's just like, poor little Fergus. You know, that's his mama and daddy at this point. You know, and his cranky uncle.
His cranky uncle. Yeah.
Murtaugh has that cranky but fun uncle vibe, okay?
He really does. So, you know, as he goes off and Murtaugh and Jamie talk at the last minute. Jamie gives the command that all those from Lallybroch are supposed to leave the battlefield. They're not going to fight this.
Yeah, he's like, get them home, you know, make sure that they're not here when the British come. And he tells Murtaugh to do it. And he tells Murtaugh to go along with them. Just go, you know, don't stay behind. And Murtaugh, of course, is like, well, I'll lead them somewhat to safety, but then I'm going to come back and I'm going to fight beside you.
Yeah, exactly. And,
This is where that hashtag save Murtaugh comes in.
Yeah. Yeah, it's definitely one of those moments where
I'm going to be so devastated.
Because, spoiler alert, in the books, Murtaugh dies. And I was really, really sad when I found, because you don't find that out till like halfway through Voyager. And I kept thinking to myself, I'm like, what happened to Murtaugh, though? Why are they talking about Murtaugh?
And even Jamie doesn't know what happens. He just knows that he didn't make it in the battle. He doesn't know how he died or anything like that.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh my God, my baby.
Murtaugh. Yeah. Well, exactly. So I.
Probably the most tragic death for me.
Well, we don't know. Maybe they might save him. We don't know.
Yeah, we never know. Maybe they just have a really long separation like Claire and Jamie do. You never know.
Exactly. Uh-huh. So then Jamie takes Claire to...
It's taking her to the stones. And she's like, I'm not fucking going.
Yeah.
And he's like, yes, you are. You know, it's very similar to, you know, do you want me to throw you over my shoulder? Because I will.
Yeah, pretty much. Yes, right. So he convinces her that they're going to the stones and because he knows she's pregnant. And that's the funny thing where she's like, in all this battle and stuff, you knew that I've been pregnant. And he's like, well, you've been.
You haven't missed your courses, and here you are 2 months late. And she's like, you fucking idiot. What the hell are you doing? And then he asked her how long she's known, and she's like, not long. And she touches her belly, and I'm just like, oh, man. And then he basically admits to her that, you know, this is the only part of me that's going to be left because I'm going to die today.
Yeah.
I'm going to die. That's what he basically tells her.
Yeah. And he also says that, you know, like... because Claire, when she's like, how am I supposed to tell Frank? Like, how am I supposed to do this? And he's like, well, I'll leave that with you, but please tell him that I am grateful, I trust him, and I hate him.
Yeah, that's when they're actually back at the stones.
Yeah.
But she's like, what? What am I supposed to do? And he's like, well, I appreciate him and I thank him for letting, you know, you be in my life and all that kind of stuff. But at the same time, I hate his fucking guts.
That's pretty much what a lot of fans feel. Now, that's the moment where there's one last love scene and it's a quickie.
It is. And I feel like it was so disappointing.
Yeah.
I mean, everything aside from that was very touching and very beautiful. I mean, we get the line. One of the most famous speeches or famous lines in the entire book is the one where he says, if I have to endure 200 years of purgatory, 200 years of hell before I see you again. Like, that's one of the biggest, you know, lines in the book, you know, or... You know, Lord, you gave me a rare woman, and God, I loved her well.
Yeah.
Ugh, man. So, but the sex scene, it was just gratuitous. They might as well have just left it out.
Yeah.
It didn't do anything for that scene whatsoever.
No, exactly.
Attached to it. It was just... I don't even think he, like, really finishes, and then cannon fire kind of stops the lust.
Yeah. He does say that the two of them say to each other, you know, blood of my blood, bone of my bone. And Claire says that she's going to name the child Brian after his father.
Yeah. And then we're back in the 19th.
Well, yeah, because they're holding each other as she goes Jamie's, to touch the stone, and he's
guiding her to it.
Well, yeah, if anything, he's the one
pushing her to leave. She doesn't leave on her own.
Yeah.
He actually, in this scene, he actually touches the stone, but he doesn't hear any of the whirring and whizzing and stuff, which we failed to mention back in the 1960s. You can hear Roger and Bree both comment on that weird buzzing noise that Claire was talking about.
Yeah.
That's really bent.
Yeah, so, and that's the part where we kind of realize that, you know, some people can go through the stones and others can't.
And Jamie is not one of them.
Exactly.
Which he even says, even if he could, he wouldn't go because it wouldn't have been his time. He doesn't belong there. Yeah, he doesn't belong there. He belongs where he's at. And it's just awful. Okay, I was, like, seriously crying at this point. Like, I'm not even joking. I was crying like I was crying with the Faith episode at this point. It was just awful. I was very depressed. But this is actually the conclusion of the episode, you know, because as this is happening, you know, Bree is, of course, found out that, you know, her mom's not a crazy person.
Yeah, and she says to her mom, from now on, we're only going to tell each other only the truth. And that's the moment where you're like, oh my gosh, the two, her and Jamie, one and the same.
Yeah, because that was, you know.
That's what Jamie said to Claire.
Yeah, right after the witch trials when Claire explains everything to him. And he's like, oh, okay, I believe you. And from now on, we're going to, you know, trust each other enough to not tell secrets. We're not going to lie to each other. And Brianna basically says the exact same thing to her mother.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know.
So that's when the two of them tell Roger to call the police and he goes off to find a phone because they don't have cell phones back then. You have to go and find a police box.
Yeah, and then
that's not time traveling.
Yeah, and then he comes back and he's like, yeah, they'll get here eventually. I left an anonymous tip.
Yeah.
And Bree and Claire are talking, and Bree looks at Roger, and she's like, show him. She goes, you know, show her. And Roger pulls out this piece of paper or whatever and reads from it, and it says that, you know, because at this point, Claire thinks that Jamie is dead, and, you know, she told Bree, this is the last spot that I actually saw him. And then Roger informs her that there were only 5 Fraser officers, and the only Fraser officer that survived was named James Fraser.
Yeah, so that's the part where Claire realizes that Jamie is alive.
Or, you know, he at least survived the battle.
Yeah.
Which means there's hope. And then the sky kind of opens up around the stones and it gets really bright and she's like, I have to go back. And
it's very Gone with the Wind.
Oh my God. Like when I saw that, I cracked up because if you've ever seen Gone with the Wind, there are 2 scenes in that movie that are just like this one. The first is when Scarlett does her I shall not go hungry again speech, and there's this sweeping music while she's doing it. She's like, I'll never go hungry again, you know. And then at the end where she's talking about going home to Tara and, you know, after all, tomorrow's another day. And that's the impression I got from the way Claire's expression was and the sweeping music and, you know, the lights and all that. And then the camera kind of just, like, goes up into the stones and boom, that's it. That's the end. No more.
Oh, and it also plays the song at the end, Time, where, you know, that 1960s time has come today. And it's very, I don't know, that moment I was just like, oh, that's such a good song to be using.
Yeah, one of the interviews I read said that that was the song they really chose for the post credits. Almost, yeah, Tony Graffia, and I can't remember who else, but that was the song they decided they really wanted to play as the end credits for the finale. once they had the scripts and everything done. So that's how it ends. Season 2 is now officially over. And it was an amazing season, though it did have its ups and downs. And from what I've read on interviews, we'll actually be seeing season 3 a little bit earlier than hopefully, you know. From what I've gathered, they're going to, because Voyager takes place on so many ships, essentially, they might be using the Black Sails set for some of it to save them money and production costs where they don't have to build their own ships.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah, so that actually helps. Plus, because they already got the go-ahead for season four's production, they can go ahead and start even while they're doing season 3 production, too. You know, they can film certain things at the same time to kind of save money.
Yeah.
You know, so we'll see. It's going to be fun. I know that. but I'm really depressed that there's no more for like almost a year.
Well, hopefully it. Did they say like when about the next season's coming? Because you said it was earlier, but like, talking March?
That's what Ron Moore has talked about. He hasn't given, we don't have an exact air date, and I don't think we're going to, not till they get some of season 3 down, which they're almost finished finalizing most of the scripts for season 3 anyway.
Yeah.
So I imagine the actual production of it will probably start taking place within the next month, you know?
Yeah.
Within the next 6 weeks, they'll probably start filming.
Okay. Well, that makes sense.
Yeah, so we'll see.
Yeah, well, now we're going into Droughtlander, 3.0?
3.0, Droughtlander 3.0. And the reason it's 3.0 is because they did that 6-month break in season 1, where you had 8 episodes, and then 6 months, and then the next 8 episodes. So that's why we call it Droughtlander 3.0, even though it's only after the second season.
Yep.
So welcome, everyone.
Yeah.
We'll definitely be keeping you updated if we learn any new stuff. I know that Diana Gabaldon named the 9th book.
Oh, what did she name it? I have no clue.
It's something about bees. I forgot.
Bees in her bonnet?
No. crap, I can't remember.
Well,
such a bad podcaster.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to find out anyways, because, you know, I really want to. Yeah. I mean, it'd be kind of, I don't know, I'm pretty excited. Okay, it's called Go Tell the Bees That I Am Gone.
Yeah, that's it.
Well, that's a weird name.
Yeah. But, I mean, A Breath of Snow and Ashes sounds weird, too, and so does An Echo in the Bone. I think it's the weirdest title, though, out of all 9 titles.
Yeah, you know what? It might just be a working title.
Yeah, you never know. Not to mention, those titles always have something to do with something she's already written.
Yeah. You know,
Written in My Own Heart's Blood, of course, was actually a line in one of the books. I think Fiery Cross. So.
Yeah. So, we should probably wrap it up.
Yep. We'll definitely be seeing you guys next week to discuss all kinds of stuff. You'll find out.
Yeah, we've got a few ideas about...
We're going to get through Droughtlander together. We're going to do plenty of discussions.
Yeah, exactly.
So, I guess I'll give you the links. We have our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/OutlanderSassanac page. We have our Facebook group, Outlander Sassanac, which is all one word, and our Tumblr, which is outlandersassanac.tumblr.com. This podcast is available on Podomatic and on iTunes, so you're listening one way or the other.
Thanks for listening, and have a great week.
See you guys next week.
All right.
Have fun.
Bye.
Bye.